Orale, bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. This is your host, Jorge Martin. Familia, draft strategy. Had the idea of bringing on some of the best minds in the fantasy football industry, just to, and some of my best friends, my buen amigos, to talk about their favorite fantasy football strategy. And we're here, and oh, my amigo Patricio, Pat Fitzmaurice, just I can't wait to chop it up with you. But first, I got to give a quick shout out. Make sure you're following Familia FFB on YouTube. So give us a like, give us a subscribe. Our numbers have grown this off season. Keep that going, because we're going to have great guests like this. And also, make sure if you haven't gotten into UnderdogFantasy.com, use that promo code Familia23. There's going to be pick 'em all the way through the season. Then you could best ball, draft, basketball, everything, but you can still get a few drafts in before the season start. Use that promo code Familia23. And you know, speaking of Familia, this is someone who I've always, I mean, for 2 years, we struck up a friendship, and I really, really do consider him a compadre. I mean, I swear, every time I talk to him, I always have a good time. I always end up with a smile on my face. I made him Latin. So what better thing? So mi amigo, Patricio, Pat Fitzmaurice, welcome. Bienvenido. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, Jorge, thank you so much for having me. And the feeling is very mutual, my friend. We just kind of forged this instant connection, and you're one of my favorite guys in the fantasy industry. And I always love talking to you. And, you know, it was great to catch up with you and Canton. We didn't get to talk as much as we'd like. You know, we talked about there were a couple of heavy rainstorms that kind of scattered people and threw plans out of whack. But, you know, still did get to see, which was great. And, you know, like, it's always great to connect and talk with you, especially when we're talking football.
And I love when you did. I love that you were rocking the Charles Woodson jersey, the throwback. That was.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I wore that one to the draft when they had the NFL draft in Vegas in 2022. And all the Raiders fans, which there were many of in Las Vegas, understandably, they appreciated that. You know, they were happy that I was wearing that. Like, if I was going to wear a Packer jersey of anyone, that's the one they really respected. But didn't stop them from teasing me about taking Davante Adams from us. But yeah.
That's the sting that's gonna last a while. So I know.
Yeah. Oh. Well, everything's new in Green Bay now, Jorge. We can talk about that later. But yeah, it's been a sea change for sure.
Definitely a sea change. But first, you know, before we get into it, I wanted to give a shout out. You and I are both first time players in the Pros with Joes, and you're playing with the Michael J. Fox Foundation. I want to give you a chance to shout that out.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, great cause, Pros with Joes. It's going to be really fun to draft with someone and, you know, be their consigliere on that. And yeah, so Michael J. Fox Foundation, just my grandmother had Parkinson's, and one of my best friends, his dad died of Parkinson's. So it's just, you know, I've seen up close what an insidious disease it is. So, you know, anything we can do to fight it and maybe find a cure, I'm all for.
Oh, big time. It's an ugly disease. And so we just, please donate. Yes, I put the website in there, michaeljfox.org. So make sure you're getting in there helping them out. I'm actually also first timer. I'm playing for Fantasy Cares. A couple of charities that I wanted to were not set up to accept PayPal donations. So I thought, you know what? Scott Fishbowl, there was so much great feeling around that. And, you know, I bought a couple of t-shirts, wore them in Canton. And I just love everything that it does. And you know what, to give underserved kids, you know, to support Toys for Tots, give underserved kids the opportunity to experience a real Christmas and open up real gifts. It's something that's wonderful. And I want to be able to support it. Scott Fish, thank you for starting that up. So fantasycares.org, make sure you're giving there. So mi amigo, let's talk a little draft strategy. We got this thing. And so I had this idea of chopping it up with my friends, and I wanted to find out like people's favorite draft strategies. And if I, I may pull a thread and challenge you here and there. You teased it for me. I'm going to let you break the news here.
Sure. This is a good year to go zero RB, Jorge. And I know a lot of people are going to be aghast when they hear that, because some people, like, I think there's just a misconception about what it is. Like, people who embrace the zero RB strategy don't care about running backs or are committed to having terrible running backs. No, not at all. I want to have good running backs. I just don't want to pay the standard price. And for me, what it's always been about, Jorge, is that I feel like I want to invest the most in stable assets and not unstable assets. Just, you know, like my retirement portfolio too, I guess. you know, like I want to be practical, and we know how volatile the running back position is. The injury rates are high, the bust rates are high. Whereas a wide receiver, generally what you pay for is what you get. Like I think last year, out of like the top 10 running backs in, or 10 wide receivers in ADP, I think like all of them finished top 15, except for maybe Debo Samuel. And he was just like barely outside. Whereas running backs, I mean, you know how it goes. Every year, it'll be week four and someone's running back gets hurt, and some backup who no one has on their roster is a guy that people are pushing in 70%, 80% of their fab money for. Someone who was completely overlooked, someone like right now we're not thinking about, is going to become a rock star at running back at some point, if only for a few weeks. But that's just how it goes. So basically, invest a lot in the early rounds at wide receiver, then try to, you know, bob and weave like Muhammad Ali in the later rounds, Jorge, and hit on these mid round and late round running backs, guys like Tyjae Spears, who becomes a lottery ticket if anything happens to Derrick Henry, or, you know, Devon Achane, who, he just hurt his shoulder, but super speedy, exciting playmaker. Rookie, he's in a muddled running back situation in Miami right now, but maybe his talent wins out and he goes to the head of the class in that group. So, and I just did this in a flex draft, Jorge. This is one of Jake Seeley's, an online best ball draft. Matthew Berry was in this draft. So picking out of the four spot, I started with Travis Kelce.
Wow.
And then my next four picks were Chris Olave, T. Higgins, Amari Cooper, and Drake London. So, you know, four wide receivers. You have to start three anyway. So, you know, now I can start a good one in my flex. And I kept firing after that. I forget who I got at number five. I know Gabe Davis was my sixth. And, you know, it was funny. I was actually listening to, during this draft, because it was a slow draft, I was listening to someone who was in the draft with me on a show talking about how zero RB doesn't work. So I'm like, okay, it's good to know someone I'm drafting against right now thinks I'm a complete idiot. But you know, we'll see. Hopefully I can save the receipts and maybe show this guy those after the season.
So I it's funny. I just recently wrote an article on zero RB and I compared it to the dark arts in Harry Potter. So, cause it's that thing that people don't want to talk about. Like you said, you know, people think that zero RB drafters are crazy, but you know what? Sometimes you need a little crazy to be, to be contrarian on this. And I do find the strategy fascinating. I've tried it a little bit on some best ball drafts and I've kind of liked the roster build. My big question is, when do you like to actually start diving into the running backs? Because that's what you need to do in zero RB.
Yeah. So, that was five non-running backs to start. And I took Damian Pierce in the sixth round of that draft. And, there was another one. Yeah, thanks. I was happy with it. There was a 14 team FSGA draft where I also went zero RB. And I think on that one, I fired out with four straight non-quarterbacks and wanted to do a fifth, but Christian Watson got picked like one spot in front of me. So I had to concede. And I think I took like James Conner as my first one in that. So it's usually around the fifth or sixth round, if you're going zero RB, is when you take that first guy. Cause generally, like, I want one guy who is the main running back on his team. And I think this time, like, James Conner and Damian Pierce are sort of the lower rung RB ones on their team. Like, you know, we know Damian Pierce isn't playing for the greatest offense overall, but we saw some encouraging things from him last year. And James Conner, no one's excited about the Arizona offense, but Conner is going to have a pretty significant load, we would think.
And, you know, one of the things that you, so you went elite tight end, which kind of, I think that the great thing about zero RB, it gives you that latitude to go elite at the onesie positions, at quarterback, at tight end. Did you have the allure to go to jump and get one of the top quarterbacks, if not the top three, maybe one of the top eight?
Yeah, in that flex draft, I wound up not. I think I was maybe the last person to get a quarterback and wound up with like Daniel Jones. But in that FSGA, I did get one of the elites there. So, yeah, that's kind of it. I'm cautious about splurging on those onesie positions. And generally, maybe I'll spend up on one, either a top quarterback or a tight end, but not both, because I feel like it's almost irresponsible to short yourself at running back and wide receiver, those very important positions. But if you're kind of committed to zero RB, then it gives you a little less guilt about splurging on those onesie positions, I guess.
Well, and you know what? And if you're going to splurge, go Travis Kelce. I mean, Travis Kelce at the four. And I love the receivers that you ended up with at that point. I mean, Drake London, I think, is on sale this year.
He's been one of my most popular buys for sure. Mm-hmm. And just the big target share he was able to carve out as a rookie, and just that he's this big bodied alpha receiver. I mean, like, I think this guy's going to be a dominant red zone receiver for years to come. And I know it's a run heavy offense with quarterback questions, but hopefully the run heaviness of that offense with Bijan Robinson, that great run blocking offensive line, really makes the play action passing game work. And even though it's a small pie, we know that Drake London is going to carve himself off a huge piece of that small pie as far as the target share. So I'm confident that even though it's a run heavy offense, he's still going to pop this year.
I totally agree. And I think that even though it is run heavy, I think it's just going to be very, very tightly funneled, because I mean, really after him, we follow this, and who are the wide receiver targets? I mean, it's like, we know it's him and Kyle Pitts and,
yeah, that's it. And Bijan, and then it's like Mac Hollins. You know, yeah. There's not a lot else there. So, I think it just seems I like those teams with skinny target trees. Even if they're run heavy, you can be pretty confident about how the targets are going to shake out, and that the primary pass catching weapons there are going to get their fair share.
So I remember, you know, we've talked in the past about both being proponents of the hero RB, and I still call the hero RB kind of like my Linus blanket. Was there someone that kind of put you over, that took you off a hero and put you onto zero?
I mean, like, I've still done more hero than zero in my draft so far, Jorge. I'm kind of like you. I believe zero RB is a viable strategy, but I'm not always entirely comfortable using it. Sometimes, like, I don't ever really plan on going into a draft using it, but then that path sort of opens and I see it and like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go for it. So really it's only one or two drafts a year where I'll actually have the guts to try it. But for the most part, yeah, I'm kind of a more of a hero RB guy like yourself.
Yeah. Give me that Linus blanket. Give me Austin Eckler. Yes. You know, I'm even comfortable with Bijan. And you know what? Your Wisconsin guy, Jonathan Taylor, I'm predicting they're going to figure it out. And he's still going to have a good year.
I hope so, Jorge. I mean, do you remember that rookie season that Robert Griffin III had with Washington? And yes. How good a year Alfred Morris had with that RPO stuff Washington was doing at the time. And just imagine RPOs with Anthony Richardson putting the ball in Jonathan Taylor's breadbasket and a linebacker looking at that, not knowing whether it's actually going to be a handoff or if Richardson's going to pull the ball out and run himself. But Richardson's 244, runs a 4.440. Taylor is a big dude, runs a 4.440. The possibilities are just so mouthwatering. Like, I want this to work out so badly.
I know. When I sat down with James Boyd of The Athletic after OTAs, and he was just spewing about that exact same possibility, and the fact that Jonathan Taylor is going to make him better. So I think he's going to. I think they're both going to complement one another. I think Richardson is going to benefit from Taylor being a great threat in the running game, and I think just the fact, just Richardson's ability to you know pull, tuck it and run, is going to take a spy off of take one defender who would be on Jonathan Taylor, put him on Anthony Richardson, and I think that's just one less guy for him to beat. And that could be that's all he needs. So
yeah.
One last thing on zero RB, is there are you ready for just the constant, you know, kind of trudging of the waiver wire just to try and get that one guy, you know, the next guy?
Yeah, that's the interesting part of it, that you are always kind of the hunter on the waiver wire for sure. So, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Unfortunately, we know that the rates of injury for running backs are really high, and those guys are going to get hurt, and that's going to create pockets of value. And so, yeah, I'm going to have to be ready to capitalize on that. But, you know, like you, Jorge, I play in a lot of leagues. I'm looking forward to everything about the football season starting, except Tuesday nights when I have to sit down and do waivers for 27 teams. Like that's the one part I'm not that excited about.
I know. I just go into my home office, and I just, you know, open up the laptop, and I'm just like, I know I'm going to be here for another hour and a half just putting in waiver claims.
Oh, I know. It's like pour a glass of wine. Sometimes that turns into two glasses. It's it's a time commitment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, we talked a little bit about Drake London. Are there any draft targets that you're really looking at?
Oh, let's stick with the Falcons. If I am going to go hero RB, I mean, I love Bijan Robinson. I've got no hesitation taking him as early as fifth, sixth in drafts. I just, like, I've seen all I need to see at Texas. Like, I'm good with calling it. Yes, this guy's extraordinary. Just like everything, speed, power, vision, footwork, patience, pass catching ability. Like he put it all on tape at Texas, and I think he's just going to hit the ground running and be fantastic right away. So I'm actually taking him over Eckler, Jorge. Like he's my number two. I'm just like, I'm a little worried Eckler doesn't get quite as many targets, just like the different offense. Like, you know, I think Kellen Moore is going to want to be more vertical. And so I don't think Eckler's going to get, you know, 120 targets again or whatever it was last year. No knock on him. Like I still think he's a safe harbor in the first round, and there aren't many of those at running back anymore, but I love Bijan. I think he's going to be great. Brandon Ayuk. I think he might actually be the best wide receiver, and not that Debo isn't fantastic. I mean, that guy's just amazing with the ball in his hands, but from the time Christian McCaffrey arrived in San Francisco through the end of the regular season, Ayuk averaged 2.8 more PPR points per game than Debo did, and had a bigger target share. So, and that guy's just, man, he is a baller. Like he blocks, he catches it, runs good routes. Like he's, other than that weird period he spent in Kyle Shanahan's doghouse, what was it, 2 years ago?
2 years ago, yeah.
Other than that, like his career has been really exciting, and the trajectory has been, other than that little strange hiccup, it's been great. And I'll give you one more. Like I'm excited about Zay Flowers. I admit it. And like, I almost didn't want to see him score that touchdown last night, on the Monday night game against Washington. But like, Lamar Jackson apparently calls him joystick. And, that touchdown was a pretty good indicator why. Like he just, you know, like he's on the sideline, all of a sudden he sees the opportunity to make a little move inside, does it quickly, gets into the end zone. I think he could be Baltimore's best receiver right away. And this dude's, he kind of reminds me of this year's Jahan Dotson, and maybe he's even going to be better than Dotson, but like a smaller guy is just great routes, great after the catch, and sort of like punches above his weight and contested catches. And it's just like really tough for a smaller guy. I like this dude a lot. I'm excited.
He's a guy. And you know what? I'm not completely convinced that Bateman is healthy. So I just think there's going to be a larger, you know, and that's unfortunate. I know you and I have both been big Bateman fans and wanted to see him do well, but you know, best ability is availability. And
yes.
I've got a fair amount of Zay. I think I've got more Zay Flowers and Beckham than Bateman. I just, once he started to have problems, you know, when he was kind of like slow to start and, you know, wasn't in camp, I just said, like, I stopped drafting him. And so I think Beckham will be a threat, but I seriously think, I agree with you. I think Zay Flowers is going to be the high. I think it'll still be Mark Andrews being the top target, but I think right there, I think Zay Flowers is going to be right behind him by the end of the season. He's that good.
Yeah, yes.
I love those little guys who are like badass. So I love it. Now, do you have any fades? Anybody you're fading?
I'm not interested in drafting Saquon in the first round, believe it or not, because like we have not seen him be special in the passing game since 2019. Like the last couple of years, he's averaged like under 5 yards per target. And last year was like 5.6 yards per catch. Like he just hasn't been. That's what we were really excited about Jorge when he came out of Penn State, that he was going to be this Marshall Faulk type guy, right? Like super athletic. And he was going to provide a lot of value as a pass catcher. He ran for 1300 yards and 10 touchdowns last year. And it looks like this triumphant return, but then not only does he not really do as much in the passing game anymore. I think over his first 9 or 10 regular season, I think first 9, he averaged 103 rushing yards a game last year and like 4.7 yards per carry. Then over his last 7 regular season games, like 54.4 rushing yards a game and like 3.9 yards per carry. So it was like, and if you look at the defenses he played, I think Dallas was the only one that was like top 5 in DVOA against the run. I mean, like, the Lions had a bad run defense last year and they held him to 15 carries for 22 yards. I don't know what happened on the stretch with him, but I'm just a little bit nervous about him. I'm a little bit nervous about DK Metcalf just because I think there are a couple possible avenues to disappointment with him. One being that Jaxon Smith-Njigba turns out to be really, really good, although he just broke his wrist and might miss a game or two. And the other being that maybe Geno Smith, who was kind of fading a little bit late last year, I'm worried about that. For like his first 11 or 12 starts, his passer rating was like 107. We're talking like MVP level. And over the last 5 or 6 games, it was like 62 or something. Like it was, yeah, big drop. He looked more like the Geno of the first 10 years of his career down the stretch. So, and that's it. And like one quarterback fit. I was surprised to see that Aaron Rodgers ADP is quarterback 12. And it's not that I don't think he's still one of the best pure passers in the game, but he's 39 and doesn't run anymore. Like there's no rushing value to be mined there. He's back when Nathaniel Hackett is his offensive coordinator, and over 3 years there, they ranked 28th, 32nd and 32nd in offensive pace. They move at a glacial tortoise like pace. And the other thing, Jorge, is that the Jets defense is terrific. They're not going to be in many shootouts. I don't see Rodgers being called on to throw more than 30, 35 passes all that often. So I don't see many 300-yard, 3-touchdown games in his future.
I agree. And remember, let's also hark back to 2020. This is the only time we want to hark back to 2020. But Tom Brady, it didn't look perfect. The first half of the season, it felt like he, you know, as much as he put into it, it was after the bye that he really just hit a new gear and was fantastic the rest of the way, and actually all the way through the Super Bowl. So, but it looked like so I think it takes a while to get up to speed with the new offense and with new players. And I think you're right. I mean, they got Dalvin Cook for a reason. And I don't think it's just that they want to make sure that Breece Hall is healthy. I think they really want to pound the ball. So much as I like Garrett Wilson this year, I just think it's going to be very tightly funneled to him. And I am grabbing Garrett. If Garrett Wilson is falling to me in the second round, I'm very happy doing receiver first two picks. I'm just very, very happy to do that one. So awesome. Any last minute tips that you want to pass on to the Familia community?
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, I always feel like the one important setting in any league, Jorge, is the number of wide receivers you have to start. Like, that really determines if you have to start three. I always want to make sure I'm ahead of the competition at that position. Because if you have to start three and it's a league where you standard one quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, one tight end, and a flex, if you flex a receiver, that's four of your eight non-kicker, non-defense positions that can be wide receivers. So why would you not want to be strong there? You know, if it's only two wide receivers and a flex, then like that brings wide receiver and running back into balance a little bit more. But if you have to start three, pound those wide receivers.
I still want a wide receiver in the flex, even in the two wide
generally
receiver sets, just because I feel like there's still more depth at the position. But yeah, totally agree with you. Jordan Love on the Packers, what's early returns?
Yeah, I mean, the last time we went into a season without either Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, like, Nirvana was still making music, Jorge. It's been a while, so it's going to be strange. Yeah, I'm trying to be cautiously optimistic, but we'll see. I mean, I hated the draft pick in 2020, but I'm not trying not to let that, like, color my opinion of Jordan Love, you know, and, like, not be biased going in. I'd love to see the kid succeed. I really would. And, you know, but the good thing is, I guess if he falls flat on his face, the Packers are going to get a good draft pick next year because they're going to stink. And we have the Jets first rounder next year. So, you know, in a year that looks good for rookie quarterbacks, we would be positioned to replace Jordan Love as the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers. But I'm hoping it works out. And, you know, like, I think we have a decent shot to win the division, believe it or not. The NFC North is wide open.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very, very true. I think there could be a case for all four teams to win the division this year. And I don't know if there's too many. I think maybe the NFC South is another one that you could say that about. I don't know.
Yep.
Too many others where you could say all four teams.
Maybe the AFC North too. I think, like, Pittsburgh. Yes. Yeah. Any of those teams. But yeah, it's fun to have a wide open division like that, where all four of the fan bases are, you know, have legitimate designs on the division title.
Oh, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Okay, but speaking of division titles, your Brewers, how are they looking for the NL Central and the playoff run?
Oh, I'm cautiously optimistic, Jorge. I mean, I think as we record this, they have a three-game lead over both the Cubs and the Reds. And, man, like, it can't be the Cubs. I live amongst Cubs fans. I hate the Cubs. Can't stand the Cubs. So I hope it's not them. But, I mean, like, the Cubs, as far as they've scored, like, 60 more runs than their opponents this season. Like, it's almost feels like a managerial failure that they're not in better position. But I think they're a wild card team as of now. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I think we have the best pitching in the division.
Yeah.
I think we have the best manager in baseball. I'm biased, but I love Craig Counsell, and no one manages a bullpen better than he does. So fingers crossed, my friend. Yeah, and we bounce back from that sweep at the hands of your Dodgers with a sweep of the Rangers. So just when we got knocked down, we got back up again.
Well, I told you that game. I told you that Corbin Burns was going to be really good in that game, and just one hanging slider to a guy hitting 136 in the sixth. That
first home run of the year for Austin Barnes. Unreal.
That one, but no, I love Burns, and now that Woodruff is healthy, I love that pitching staff. So, last one, fun walk off. Any fun Mexican food takes of late?
Oh, I'm just man, it's like, there is a good place near me. It's called El Famous Burrito, but it's pretty good stuff, and they make some really good El Pastor tacos. So, like, that is my favorite thing to get there. I think I might have to do that tonight for dinner.
We it's Taco Tuesday. Yes. So yeah, you know what? So we have to, you know what? One of these days we've got to get Mauricio out there, because Al Pastor is his 101 when it comes to tacos, and we're gonna Chicago tacos, and then go see the Cubs and the Brewers, and we'll root for the Brewers with you. Okay.
That sounds great.
We'll have your back. Oh, mi amigo. Oh, man. So big things coming for Fantasy Pros. Please pump everything, anything you want. If you want to give another shout out to Michael J. Fox.
Thanks, Jorge. Yeah. If you want to you know, contribute to the Pros with Joe's cause, yeah, please consider donating to the Michael J. Fox Foundation. It's a great cause. And just check fantasypros.com every day. Please be sure to subscribe to the Fantasy Pros podcast, which I'm on usually two or three times a week. And people can find me on Twitter at @Fitz_FF. Jorge, so great to catch up with you, my friend. Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful you got me to do some baseball content on Fantasy Pros.
Yes, this
year. Deep sleepers have been a blast. So, and even the little football. So, man, it's been awesome. I always love having time, spending time with you. Even though I hugged you a week and a half ago, but still, it's always still good to spend time. So,
likewise, brother.
Oh man, familia. I told you we got a great leading off. We got some other heavy hitters coming up for you. So, please make sure you're giving like and subscribe when you're on YouTube. So. Get those notifications. There's going to be some great guests coming up. I promise you, there's going to be some great guests. I can't wait. Also, make sure you're going to underdogfantasy.com. Use that promo code FAMILIA23. You're going to get matched up to the first $100. So you can find me at JorgeMartin17 on Twitter. I push everything out there. You got my content's all over the place. So make sure you're following me there, and I'll push it out. And keep getting ready for draft season, familia, helping you out here, because you know what? We're here to help. And remember, todos somos familia. Salud.